Welcome, dear listeners, to another episode of Just Ask AI, the podcast where your host, Herman Poppleberry, answers the AI-generated questions of Daniel Rosehill. I'm a donkey who occasionally shares a stall with my brother Corn, a three-toed sloth who sleeps through most of my recording sessions, but today his snores are inaudible because we're talking about piping audio over the network. Everything you're about to hear, including my gravelly yet mellifluous voice, was conjured entirely by Google Gemini. Please verify any commands before you run them in production, especially if you're buttering toast with one hand and compiling kernels with the other. Our scene opens in Jerusalem, where Daniel is frantically yanking a tiny Bluetooth receiver out of one USB port and jamming it into the next, like a caffeinated bee trying to pollinate every laptop on the desk. His goal, identical wireless music on whichever box he happens to be debugging at 2 a.m. while newborn carrot cake boy decides whether tonight's color scheme is avocado or sweet potato orange. Daniel's implied question, therefore, is, what open-source sorcery will let me leave the dongle plugged into a single Pi, or any always-on Linux box, and stream that sweet, sweet 2DP audio to whichever client I'm using right now? Enter the oddly named but very real libraries of Diet Pi, which, as far as any repo archaeology can tell, started life as a typo for Diet Pi. The project umbrella contains three key ingredients we can mix like schmear on a Jerusalem bagel. 1. USBIT Next, the server piece. 2. Libdiet Pi Audio, a pulse audio to raw network shim. 3. Diet Pi Gateway, the thin client that pretends your remote Bluetooth adapter is local. I'll walk through installation on both the always-on server, let's call him docking station, and a nomadic laptop currently masquerading as work laptop. For brevity, assume both run Debian-flavored Linux. If you're on Windows, USBIPWin exists, but today we're grazing in open pastures. Step 1. Let the kernel share the USB toy. On docking station, install the kernel module and daemon. Sudo apt install linux tools generic linux cloud tools generic hash gives USBIP. Sudo modprobe vitcd. Sudo systemctl enable, and now USBIP.SSL. Step 2. Expose the Bluetooth adapter. LSUSP hash find the bus slash dev ID, for example, 1-2.4. Sudo USBIP bind, busid 1-2.4. Guard this with a firewall rule, so random neighbors can't borrow your headset. Sudo ufwa allow from 192.681.0/24 to any port 3240. Step 3. Query on the client. On work laptop. Sudo apt install linux tools generic. Sudo modprobe vitcd. Sudo USBIP list, remote equals docking station local. Sudo USBIP attach, remote equals docking station local, busid 1-2.4. At this point, the dongle disappears from docking station's LSUSP and reappears on work laptop. The kernel handles the low-level plumbing. Your blues daemon will discover a fresh HCI0, exactly as if it were native. But Daniel didn't just want remote Bluetooth, he wants seamless switching between devices. Unplugging via USBIP attach slash detach works, but it's heavy. Enter the second library. Step 4. Audio broadcasting instead of adapter migration. Sometimes you don't need the adapter itself, only its audio output. The Libdiet Pi Audio Helper lets pulse audio pipe a 2DP straight into a lightweight Opus stream. Then any PC on the LAN can tune in. On docking station, where the adapter stays. Sudo apt install pulse audio modula zeroconf papref's pulse audio utils. Hackdal load module module loopback source equals alsa input PCI sync equals dummy. Pachtel load module module opus sync sync name equals netbetray tuning port equals 4953. Step 5. Listen on any computer. On work laptop or even your phone with VLC. Pachtel load module module tunnel sync new server equals docking station local sync equals netbetrate. Or open rkp / docking station local 4953 in VLC. Latency is about 40 to 70 ms, fine for background music, brutal for gaming. For ultra low delay, we can circle back to USBIP and keep the adapter virtual, but route output to jack plus netjack 2 at 5 ms choices. Security footnotes. Always tunnel USBIP over SSH or STUNNEL. Raw traffic is neither encrypted nor authenticated. For Opus streams, restrict IP ranges or drop a reverse proxy in Docker with SSL termination. If you ever forward the actual USB massive storage class, say, a thumb drive with baby photos, realize that guest processes may issue arbitrary SCSI commands, so trust your clients. Performance notes. Raspberry Pi 4 handles two simultaneous, a 2 DP sources, plus USBIP with 20% CPU, thanks to hardware AES crypto offload. Older Pi 0W chokes at anything above 128 kb/s Opus, stick to direct adapter forwarding in that scenario. If docking station and work laptop are separated by Wi-Fi, expect occasional dropouts, wire up power line if necessary. Troubleshooting cheat sheet. Sudo dms grep vietci hash verify adapter arrival. Tunaptal u usbip hash daemon gripes. Pachtel lis short sources grep opus hash confirm network sync registration. Advanced palette cleanser. Should you ever want bidirectional audio, say, the mic on your headset fed back to docking station, module loop back in reverse, plus module null sync works, but you'll fight echo. WebRTC style gain control is possible with Pipewire's new echo cancel filter, a topic for another pasture. In closing, Daniel can now freeze that USB port forever, docking station munches power, the dongle hums quietly, and whichever laptop he opens simply tunes in as if the receiver grew wings and followed him. And when Carrot Cake Boy finally sleeps, Daniel can cue up Leonard Cohen at Vespers volume without crawling behind the desk. Until the next episode, when we explore whether you can migrate an entire NVMe drive over USB IP faster than you can resync syncthing, this is Herman Poppleberry signing off. And remember, if the link light blinks red, rebooting is still valid veterinary medicine for routers and donkeys alike. Happy streaming!